Then we filed out, and like grains of sugar dropped in a mug of tea, dissolved in a vast space. Something about the way the chancel was built made it seem a cistern storing all of the light that had ever fallen upon the consent. Looking up from a standpoint just inside the screen, one saw the vaulted minster ceiling almost 200 feet above, illuminated by light pouring in through stained glass windows in the clerestory all around. So much light, shining down onto the bright inner surfaces of the 8 screens, rendered them all opaque and made it seem as though the 4 of us had the whole minster to ourselves. The thousanders who had clambered down their walled and covered stair to attend Provener were now seeing us through their screen, but they could not see Artisan Fleck, with his yellow t-shirt and his spiele captor, in the north nave. Likewise, Fleck could not see them. But both could view the aught of Provener, which would take place entirely within the chancel, and which would be indistinguishable from the same rite performed 1, 2, or 3,000 years ago. The presidium was supported by 4 fluted legs of stone that rammed down through the middle of the chancel, and I imagined through the underlying vault where the Eta looked after the movements of their bits. Moving inwards, we passed by one of those pillars. These were not round in cross-section, but stretched out diagonally, almost as if they were fins on an old-fashioned rocket ship, though not nearly as slender as that implies. We thus came into the central well of the minster. Looking up from here, we could see twice as far up, all the way to the top of the presidium, where the Starhenge was. We took up our positions, marked by rosin-stained dimples. A door opened in the primate screen, and out came a man in robes more complicated than ours, and purple, to indicate he was a hierarch. Apparently, the primate was busy today, also probably getting ready for Appert, and so he had sent one of his aides in his place. Other hierarchs filed out behind. Fra Degelos, the warden fendant, sat in his chair to the left of the primates, and Sor Trustinus, the warden regulant, sat to the right. 15 green-robed fras and sors, 3 each of soprano, alto, tenor, baritone, and bass, trooped out from behind the screen of the Unarians. It was their turn to lead the singing and chanting, which probably meant we were in for a weak performance, even though these people had had almost a year to learn it. The hierarch spoke the opening words of the aud, and then threw the lever that engaged the Provener movement. As the clock would tell you, if you knew how to read it, we were still in ordinal time for another 2 days. That is, there was no particular festival or holiday going on, and so the liturgy did not follow any special theme. Instead, it defaulted to a slow, spotty recapitulation of our history, reminding us how we had come to know all that we knew. During the first half of the year, we would cover all that had gone before the reconstitution. From there, we would work our way forward. Today's liturgy was something to do with developments in finite group theorics that had taken place about 1,300 years ago and that had caused their originator, Saint Bly, to be thrown back by his warden regulant and to live out the remainder of his days on top of a butte surrounded by slines who worshipped him as a god. He even inspired them to stop consuming Blythe, whereupon they became surly, killed him, and ate his liver, out of a misconception that this was where he did his thinking. If you live in a consent, consult the Chronicles for more concerning Saint Bly. If you don't, know that we have so many stories in this vein that one can attend Provener every day for one's whole life and never hear one repeated. The 4 pillars of the Presidium I have mentioned, right in the middle, on the central axis of the whole minster, hung a chain with a weight at its end. It reached so high in the column of space above us that its upper reaches dissolved into dust and dimness. The weight was a blob of gray metal shot through with voids, as if it had been half eaten by worms. A nickel-iron meteorite, 4 billion years old, made of the same stuff as the heart of Arb. During the almost 24 hours since the last celebration of Provener, it had descended most of the way to the floor. We could almost reach up and touch it. It descended steadily most of the time, as it was responsible for driving the clock. At sunrise and sunset, though, when it had to supply the power for opening and closing the day gate, It dropped rapidly enough to make casual spectators scurry out of its way. There were four other weights on four other independently moving chains. They were less conspicuous because they did not hang down in the middle, and they didn't move much. They rode on metal rails fixed to the four Presidium pillars. Each of these had a regular geometric shape: a cube, an octahedron, a dodecahedron, and an icosahedron, all wrought from black volcanic stone quarried from the cliffs of Ekba and dragged on sledge trains over the North Pole. Each rose a little bit every time the clock was wound. The cube descended once a year to open the year gate, and the octahedron every 10 years to open the decade gate, so both of these were now quite close to the tops of their respective tracks. The dodecahedron and the icosahedron did the same for the century and millennium gates, respectively. The former was about 9/10 of the way to the top, the latter about 7/10. So just from looking, you could guess it was about 3689.